I laughed, I cried, and I said, wow, these kids are not at Abby's support need level. I'll get a lot of hate from the population of either self-diagnosed or what seems to be the low support needs community of the treatments that I gave Abby were wrong and abusive.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. So glad you're listening to Health Power. If you listen to the show, you know that I'm a huge fan of the television program Love on the Spectrum. And today I'm going to have a very interesting conversation with the fantastic Christine Romeo. Christine is an honors graduate of the University of Massachusetts and spent part of her college years at the University of Warwick in Coventry, England. She has been a single mom to both son, Benjamin, and Abby since they were 5 and 6. She has spent 22 years in the therapy rooms, IEPs, and creating individualized interventions for Abby. She is an avid speaker on autism and overcoming obstacles. She recently spoke at the Northern California Neurodiversity Symposium along with legendary autism advocate Temple Grandin. Her day job is Director of Communications and Senior Programs at the Farrah Fawcett Foundation in Los Angeles, which supports cancer research and patient support. That's awesome. She appears on Love on the Spectrum US with Abby and is on TikTok, where she is known as Abby's Mom 17, sharing her autism journey with Abby to over 1 million followers. Wow. Christine, welcome to Health Power.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's an honor to have you. So I was really taken with you and I was taken with Abby, of course. And Christine and I had a conversation prior to this interview where we're really talking about some of the issues right now with everybody popping up and being like, I have autism. I'm going off to college. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And we like to think of it, because I'm on Christine's page with this, as more about neurodifferent. And you had mentioned neurodeficit. So before we get into that, but it's going to be a great conversation, I just want to talk a little bit about your experience on Love on the Spectrum. How did they find you, or how did you find them? Jump in and talk to us about that.
Well, we started at the beginning when Love on the Spectrum had never aired and didn't exist. So
wow.
For all I knew, it was some guy in a van doing a documentary of people on something. I'm like, yeah, buddy, I heard that before. So we didn't know what it was. And there's a couple of things we've been approached about, you know, and I'm all about sharing the story. So Abby was in a program called Spectrum Laboratories, which is in Los Angeles for people that are presenting autism in various levels, support needs, whatever you currently are supposed to say regarding that.
Right.
They came there looking for individuals. So they came to Abby's class. And of course, Abby ran out the door, waved and left and didn't talk to them at all. And cut to the director, Keon, sort of was interested in her and wound up having a couple of Zoom calls during the pandemic. I still didn't know what it was. For all I knew, it was some guy doing a documentary to show on his YouTube channel. We just didn't know what it was. But again, you're just sharing your story. Cut to, right, after the third Zoom interview, he said, and Abby had said so many funny things during that Zoom interview. My favorite moment, which I just have to tell you, is we're Zooming with these people. Again, we don't know who they are. And Abby's sitting there and answering questions. You know, how do you feel about this? She's like, I had a boyfriend once. And Q&As are very hard for Abby. That's not easy. And right, I was kind of off to the side, just kind of helping her, but off the camera. And Abby just stopped in the middle of the Zoom where we're talking right now and just went like this. Mom, how come when you're driving in the car, you call everyone an asshole? That is not relevant to the conversation.
That's great.
It was like those kind of moments. Anyways, right, end of the third one, Zoom, he said, so this is actually a show that's probably going to be televised on a little network that starts with the letter N, and it's not NBC. And I went, Netflix? This is for Netflix? And he said, wow. Yes. But here's the thing about it that people don't realize is there is no guarantee, even if you shoot the whole thing, that you're going to make it to the final cut, because it is highly unscripted. And because it's unscripted, if there's no story, if there's no progression, if somebody shuts down, you know, it's very unstructured. They don't know what they're going to get, I don't think, until they're done. So we did the whole thing. We still didn't know if her story was relevant. We didn't know until a couple of months after we'd finished shooting whether they were going to ever use any of it. That's a part of it. And as a parent, how disappointing would that be for your kid to think they're going to do something or not? And now in Abby's case, she wouldn't really care. But in another person's case, they might be sensitive to that, that your story didn't work, or, you know, so you have those challenges as well.
Right.
The other part, so that's how we kind of came into it. And they had, the very first time I even spoke to them, once they said, we want you to do this, they said, have you heard of a gentleman named David Isaacman? And I know a lot of people in the LA area in the autism vibe community from every special needs program, the different schools. I'm very involved in programs, Spectrum right. Laboratory, Miracle Project. I'm just that parent that just jumps in and says, what's this? Maybe this will help out. Maybe that'll help.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
And so we then realized that they had this guy in mind for her. This is, you know, before we even shot the first hello. So it was, and I said, no, I haven't heard of David Isaacman. That's because he's a couple years older. So his population was already advancing through. So we never crossed paths with him. So I think he's 3 years older than Abby, which is perfect, you know? So yeah. That was amazing. And they just knew that the love of Disney and the shared interest, they knew, they really did know that that was a good fit for those two minds together, which I thought was cool. And so the other thing I'll say about Love on the Spectrum is, you know, they start each episode with the individual in their room talking about their story. How do you feel about this? What's your favorite interest? You know, they're just having a conversation.
Right. So,
now, I know that Q&As are hard for Abby, and certainly sitting still, and she can get bored, whatever. So they come the first day, they sit down, Abby's in her room with a, it's not like a big setup. There's a couple of lights, there's a camera. It's not a big camera, it's a little camera, but she had to sit in a chair while Kian talked to her. And if you say, how do you feel about this? Or what are your thoughts on this? Abby does not have an answer. That's an unstructured question. Abby needs structured questions. Tell me three things about having a boyfriend that you would like, not how do you feel about this? Because that she cannot grasp. Her brain just goes on a different pattern, I think.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, so she sat there and I'm in the other room and I can kind of hear it. And I hear, this is boring. Can I leave now? Are we almost done? She'd sat down for 2 minutes and it wasn't good.
Right.
And I thought, shame on me that I let her do this, because season one and two, by this time, season one, Australia had come out, so I was able to watch it. I laughed, I cried, and I said, wow, these kids are not at Abby's support need level. These people are in a whole different population. Driving cars, traveling Europe by themselves, have jobs, have excellent conversational language, not us. And in fact, I told the director that at the beginning. I said, I can't believe you would want her for this show. She's not that kind of person. And he said, well, we're just telling stories and we want more diversity of the spectrum. So for that reason, we proceeded. So, you know, if you go back to season one, Australia, you see very low support needs individuals, what we formerly called high functioning. Abby was known as high functioning at one point. That's the terminology we use, but we don't use that anymore because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But at the same time, that's a big demotion for the understanding of how Abby was functioning in the world, because now she's no longer looked at as an accomplishment. See what I mean? Okay.
Right.
And then there's this idea of her sitting in the chair and she's yawning in the guy's face. I can hear her going, you know, and I thought, what have I done? I should have really thought about this, because Abby needs support in making these decisions.
Sure.
And anyway, the next day or 2 days later, he called and he said, we want to come back and we just want to shoot Abby around the house and see how that goes. Just let Abby kind of lead us. I don't know why he had the instinct to suggest that. And that day when they came back and she didn't have to sit in a chair and answer Q&As was one of the funnest days. And he is laughing so hard and I'm laughing so hard. And she's just, I mean, it was so funny. And I realized something. One, Abby's her best self when she's moving. That's when she can access her brain power. And I felt terrible for all the young kids and high schoolers and even adults who don't access their best brain power when they're told to sit still in a chair and be quiet.
Yes.
I think that's a thing that look, I know we have to do it like for certain events and such, but in school, all those kids that are being yelled at to sit still and stop moving, my heart went out to them. And that's the educational component I would like to change, whatever you call it for a person.
Sure. I agree.
Autism, 1, 2, or 3, neurodivergent, different, Asperger's, formerly known as Asperger's, whatever you call it. That understanding, I think, would be cool if we could get that going. But that's kind of the whole story. And the rest is history with Love on the Spectrum. You know, she flourished and interacted, and her conversational language actually improved. She loves telling her story. It's almost like she didn't know how.
Yeah.
The Q&A thing is very much a part of her deficit.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's so great that they already had David in mind for her.
Yes.
Because they really do just, they hit it off and they have fun and they communicate in a similar way. And it's lovely.
Yes.
It's really lovely.
It really is lovely. And I can say now, I've met a lot of people on the spectrum. I've been able to speak and travel a little bit. And there's so many people that want to connect and want that partnership. It's about like minds.
Yes.
It's in the neurotypical world, it's about a whole bunch of other stuff. That's the stuff that ruins it half the time. You know what I mean? There's an absolute beauty and an innocence and a safe haven when like minds in that neurodiverse world connect. It's a very cool thing.
They're in that innocence. Oh, go on.
You know, their innocence and the appreciation, the heartfelt love of having someone that understands how your mind works is tremendous. And I
it honestly, really is.
If only in the neurotypical world they understood that. that is what matters.
Yes, it is. Well, what I'm wondering about, and if you're not comfortable talking about this, it's okay, but they are in their 20s, correct? Both Abby and David, or is he? Okay. I did wonder about conversations around their bodies and sexual feelings and things that come up. Is that something that's a part of, like, do you have to talk to her about that? Because I'm just curious if that's,
she kind of instinctually knows that kind of stuff. And I have absolutely no shame in any of that conversation with her. In fact, I say that thing we were talking about, that's for everybody. That has nothing to do with autism. In fact, that's one of the biggest lines I use for almost everything. This is not about autism.
Good.
This is about being a person. Because Abby had, how can I say this? Abby was so aware of having autism as a young girl that she didn't fit into the planet. And it's painful and hard. And she had the desire to participate. She was aware of what the typical world in elementary school was doing, but didn't know how to execute it. Her brain wouldn't do it, so to speak. And so on many, many obvious levels. You know?
Okay.
And so I'm constantly saying to her, yeah, you have to try harder than everyone else. That's right. But you can do this. So everything I say today is coming from the place of being her cheerleader. Not you have a disability, not, oh, you don't fit in. Here's why you can't do something. I go, okay, you got sensory issues. We're going to deal with it and move on. And you're going to have a damn good life, kid. I said it to both my kids, despite circumstances. Now, it was hard to get there. Trust me.
Sure.
But once you get to that place, I think it's a pretty safe space to be, to really say, this is all we get on this planet. We can be miserable, isolated, alone, and say, this is why I can't do something. Because I think we're in a societal place of saying, here's my disability. Here's why I can't do something.
Yes.
What I'm inspired by is people with real disabilities that are like skiing. There's a man with like no legs that skis. And I've seen this man lecture. And he's so inspiring. You just love this guy. You want to meet him. He's got a power coming out of him that is so inspirational. You feel like you are empowered just by talking to him. And I've gotten a lot of energy from those types of people who are spreading messages of, yes, I can.
Yes. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, share your story and tell us, how did you overcome that? but yeah. I'm not going to let it hold me down. So getting back to your question of just that, you know, I'm always just like upfront with her. That's a complete people feeling. That's nothing about autism. You know, here are your choices, da 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 da. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. But if you, you know, and then like leave it up to her. She knows that she can come to me and talk to me about anything.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great.
It's probably a deeper conversation that you would have than with a typical person.
Right.
You know, I had one talk with my son once. Here's your options. Don't be stupid. Da 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 da. And he took the ball and ran with it. That's not right. The way in Abby's case, it's more of a process and mm-hmm. a gentle kind of conversation of understanding. This is what it's like to be a human being and here are your choices.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, just let the audience know, when Christine and I first spoke, I brought up the, oh, my daughter's on the spectrum. And then I started talking about her and Christine's like, well, yeah, she's neurodivergent, right? And, you know, just quickly, you know, the issues with my daughter, she didn't fit in at school. She has learning disabilities. She has trouble socializing. Everybody thought she was weird. They'd pull her out of class so often to give her extra help that she didn't really meld with the class and what is always seen as different. She wasn't made fun of, but more like just isolated and like she was invisible. She just has a lot of, you know, issues from that. But she also has some mental health challenges, anxiety, OCD. And my husband and I were talking that those are the main issues that are hard for her versus her very light autism, I would call it, or I guess it would be called low needs. But we got a very interesting discussion and I wanted to share that on here. So talk to us about that difference of if someone says, oh, my kid's on the spectrum, then you talk, you're like, yeah, they're just neurodivergent. And not just because we still had our challenges. She didn't sleep the night till she was six. The wind blew on her face. She would cry. We couldn't take her anywhere. It was just, she was overwhelmed by the world. I don't want to belittle my experience, but it's different, right? So
it's,
if you want to.
It's different. So in right. order to support people, all people mm-hmm. of all levels, like your right. daughter, my daughter, and the non-speaking person.
Yeah.
We're calling it one, two, or three. And that arena is so vast, that landscape is so huge that when you go to help somebody, you don't know where to begin. So we started talking because your daughter, although we might have an umbrella of autism, you just said she has OCD and she has some mental health issues. And yes, there's a crossover, but why burden her with 10 diagnoses when we kind right. of know these are the areas and how we can help her? And then right. I go back to, how do we help somebody if we don't know what to call it? That's my first mm-hmm. thing. Or if we're calling everybody the same thing. So yes. I started with understanding that there is a difference between, and both need help. I repeat, yeah. both need support. Both need stuff to help them in the world.
Right.
But some people are neurodifferent and some people are neurodeficit. And deficit, when I just did a video on TikTok and a lot of
yeah, people, it was great.
A lot of people who identify as level one were furious with me that I would ever, but I never suggest that. And I never said level one specifically, but they just jumped sure. on that, made an assumption. And I get it because level one people are very angry. And I hear their anger and they really direct it towards a lot of people out there. But I'm on their side and they don't understand that. I understand right. that. I've read a book called Nobody Nowhere by Donna Williams. Have you read that book?
No, I haven't.
Everybody read Nobody Nowhere by Donna Williams. And it's the story of an autistic woman, probably of low support needs, but maybe even medium support needs, who wasn't diagnosed until she was in her, I believe, in her 20s. And she went off, she became a speaker and a lecturer. But hearing the story of her childhood, it should be a film. So we can understand what happens when there's people that are not diagnosed that are struggling,
yeah.
But they have just enough skill to get by, just mm-hmm. enough skill. Yep, and that's what I mean about falling through the cracks, you know?
Yeah.
So if we can start, my overall message or my overall thinking or my overall hope is to come up with language so that we can respect each population under the umbrella of autism. And currently, no one goes around saying, I'm autism one. Oh, yeah, I'm autism two. And even that is vague. We don't go right. mental illness one, mental illness two. We have names for 150 million different scenarios of traits and behaviors so that we can treat it, so that we can suggest help. We have occupational defiance disorder, OCD, compulsive hoarding, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and a million more, right?
Yes.
So you don't see a compulsive hoarder screaming at a bipolar person that the treatment they chose to use is wrong and abusive.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a lot of hate, and I'll get a lot of hate from the population of either self-diagnosed or what seems to be the low support needs community of the treatments that I gave Abby were wrong and abusive. My number one hate
that's insane.
People on the spectrum.
They think the therapies you did were wrong and abusive.
My therapy's wrong. It's abusive. How dare you do ABA? Why do you talk to her like that? You're infantilizing her. Free Abby, hashtag free Abby. And all of those people, I wouldn't even care if that was the general
public. That's heartbreaking.
They're people who are on the spectrum as low support needs. And they are now my evidence that we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Because I can understand the general public not getting it because it's not their role. But how can you bully? I mean, they're bullying the parents of non-speaking adults. And I would never speak to that population because that's not what I have. That is another world. And that is why many of those people have pulled away and created profound autism, so that we know profound autism has zero crossover with autism level one people.
Right.
Because they're driving cars, have jobs, and their manifestation of autism is internal. It is a struggle with fitting into society, observing social situations, having the ability to know that I'm uncomfortable right now in this social setting, so I'm going to pretend to do what these people are doing, even though I'm not instinctually doing, you know, anything. And this other person here needs 24-hour care. How can that population be bullying the other population? And neither of which I'm actually in, but I'm observing it, I'm seeing it, and I've gotten enough, real hate for what I've done with Abby. And by the way, I'm not a paid content creator on TikTok.
Sure.
That's my number one thing. It's like, you're just doing this for likes and views. And I'm like, girl, I'm too old to even know what that means. Okay.
Right.
Likes and views is some Gen Z word that means popularity, I guess. I don't know. I could care less.
Yes.
I don't know what that means. I am not a paid content creator. I have a career in the cancer field.
Right.
And I've been there 13 years. Autism is my side gig, and I am so impressed with how far Abby has come. I wanted to just share that. And what I've learned is there's people in other countries that don't have access to services. There's people waiting for services in the UK that can't get them. And I want to share with them things I've done to help them. And I get messages from all over the world for people thanking me for sharing those things.
Oh, thank gosh.
I'm just trying to pay it forward, folks. Look, I live in California. We got a ton of services. Because California is a high tax state with a lot of services. And you're at a disadvantage in some cases if you don't know how to work the system of autism, which is my next point. If we could have specific language and break down that system of autism, more people could possibly get help.
Yes.
Especially
it's so important.
Your daughter's population.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she definitely needed help. She did have OT for a couple years. She did do some music therapy. She got an NVLD diagnosis, which was similar. One developmental pediatrician I spoke with called it autism's cousin, because there are some similar things with some social skill issues. There's a lot of it's more fine motor, gross motor issues. Now they just recently changed the name. But I mean, her list is she's got ADHD, dyscalculia, which is a math dyslexia, autism, severe generalized anxiety disorder. I mean, it just goes on. But she would never be the type who would judge you and say, what do you do? You know, she thought you were fantastic, and you are an amazing mother. And what you've done for Abby is absolutely incredible. You should just be getting hugs and heart emojis. I'm just sickened that people are so ignorant.
Well, so that's an interesting point. I've had many level ones reach out to me directly to tell me their story. If they disagreed with what I said, they said, would you be willing to hear me tell you what it was like for me growing up? I didn't get diagnosed till I was 25. Bah, 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 this and this and this and this. And I am fascinated with their story. And they go back to the Donna Williams story. Same thing, which is why I read that book. Right. I wanted to understand what that was like. All I'm saying is those are two different experiences.
Exactly.
What you need is not what you need at all, because what you need hasn't even been created yet. That's what I'm trying to tell them. If we can break it down, okay, so in this cyber world, in this social media, on the bandwagon of self, we have a lot of people expressing themselves. And by the way, no one's wrong. I honor everyone's, if that's their perspective. I'm not right either, by the way, folks. I'm just a woman sharing my story. So it's not about me being right. If I say this is my opinion, opinions are opinions. They're not right or wrong. We have to honor that. Everyone's story is this different. My battle, my interventions with Abby. And so because I've done interventions with Abby, I'm not trying to cure her autism. That's not what this is about. I'm just trying to get her brain to work so when I'm dead, she's better off than and can speak.
Exactly.
Pretty much it. There's no real bigger, message behind it. But we do have a societal movement of victimization. What's my diagnosis? What's wrong with me? Society's against me. I hate this. I hate my parents. I was traumatized. If people knew my story of my own upbringing, they would not believe it. They would not believe it. They just judge me because of my haircut and my cool glasses. But we all have stories. And so
of course.
Let's try to understand each other's stories and not judge. But I'm trying to say to somebody, you're not deficit. Your brain works differently. And that's meant to be a compliment, not takeaway. Because you don't need speech. You didn't need applied behavior analysis to come out of your spin and talk to people or communicate. You did not need that. But here's you're over here with this, because there's a lot of people with this kind of alternative, I think, processing.
Right.
But here's what you guys need to support. My dream is that if they can give an orange folder, and in LA, this is what they do when you're in second grade. If you're gifted and you're above average in learning, they give you literally an orange folder. My son got his orange folder when he was 7. That means, congratulations, we're identifying you as gifted. And I thought, if they can do that, why can't they identify neurodifferent people? Kids who are processing language different, kids who appear to need sensory integration support, kids whose language might, kids who are isolating, because those skills are as important as math.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, I'd say cancel math and give them intervention services. So if you have language, you are participating, you don't need an age, you didn't get kicked out of preschool, all the things that I used to describe Abby, then we can create supports in the educational setting. Because at the end of the day, surviving life, being able to function should be incorporated into the curriculum. If you ask me, this is just my opinion.
Oh,
think of how many kids and adults could be better off functioning, would get off drugs, would stop self-medicated, might find a special interest, and they could be educated differently.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. They don't have to sit here, be quiet, sit still, be a zombie, write on the board, do the thing when your head's spinning with sensory input.
No, it doesn't work.
You know, there's so many things. But so that's what I'm saying is it's easy to pull out the deficit kids because they're doing crazy stuff right in front of your eyes. You know, they're not making sense when they talk. That's Abby. Like, it took me years to even figure out some of what her phrases meant and stuff. So that's the idea behind it. And the other thing is, like with your daughter, could you imagine, in saying she's neurodifferent does not mean she doesn't have deficits. They're internalized. They're subtle. They need support, but it's not the blatant, obvious things.
Yes.
I did a video on telling my son's friends that Ben's sister was autistic when they came over. So they're all elementary age. They're like fifth, sixth grade. And I would say to each one of my son's friends when they came over, Ben's sister has autism. That's what you're seeing. She will repeat herself. She'll be if she gets too close, you can put an arm up and say, could you step back? I give the kids tools to understand some of Abby's behaviors. Do you know how much criticism I got from that, from level one autistic people? how dare you disclose her private diagnosis? That was not your right to do so. And I'm like, maybe it was the jumping around and the spinning and the going in their faces and asking the same questions 10 times was a clue that something was different. And maybe
exactly.
I should say that nobody was completely awkward and then avoiding us at home.
Exactly. Yes.
That person couldn't hear what I was saying because they were all in their own experience. Now
right.
That being said, and I've not done a video on this, and I'm 90% sure in my experience this could be true, is that people who are level one or low support needs do not have the same reciprocal ability as a typical person. So you're not thinking, how, if I say this, is this going to impact you? Right? And
yeah.
It's just wiring. It's not intentional, which is why
right.
I don't really respond to those people because I think, oh, they're not understanding what I'm saying and that's okay. Because if they are, I don't know their story. I don't know what their thing is. They can spew mean and hate and I'm not going to take it in. And that is my
okay,
choice.
Okay, good. That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, do you respond? Do you ignore it? But I'm glad you don't take it in because it's completely unwarranted.
Well, I
just
do.
Feel like this generation, they're so, I'll get in trouble, but I don't know. It's just, everybody's so flippant and indignant about everything.
Yes.
There's a lot of social contagion, and I'll probably get in trouble for that too, in a lot of different areas.
Well, yeah, I think we're this cyber portal that you can live behind and hide behind. But
yeah.
What I want to say to all those people is this. I know what it feels like to be angry and resentful. I went through a horrific divorce when Abby was 5 and 6. It was bad. Mm-hmm. And I found out stuff that was not what I thought was true in my life. That wasn't true. There was just a lot of bad stuff. And I had to get a job at 42 and rebuild my life completely from the ground up. I had 2 kids. I had a house. I had no way to pay for the house. I started working a minimum wage job at an ad agency, basically emptying the trash when I was in my 40s for minimum wage. So like, I didn't have it easy. Do you know what I
right.
mean? Like
yes.
There's a whole like backstory. And so choosing to share all this stuff and not get into that part of my story, you know, I'm doing it because I feel like it organically happened. You know, by the way, Abby was,
right.
and that's how this whole thing happened, is that Abby was, I've been shooting little snippets of Abby since she was like 12. And I'd send them to her brother and go, look what Abby said this time. And we'd laugh. That's all this was. I used to do a script form on Facebook and I'd write Abbyism 102, Abbyism 131. And I'd write these little 4-sentence exchanges we had because they were so funny to me and people loved it. So we had like
yeah.
this little thing about her, but it was just meant to share, you know?
You're right.
And you know, she's come so far. So we put her on TikTok for that purpose, just to see. I said, hey, Abby, you want to share these stories? There's this thing called TikTok. She's like, sure. And cousin Mary kind of facilitates that for Abby because Abby can't do the buttons. And that's
mm-hmm.
another thing. Why isn't Abby running her own channel? Why? Who's doing this? Abby's voice has been silenced. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
She's got this thing called autism. And some people with autism can't do the tech stuff and write
right.
these brilliant passages. Right there, you have a problem. So anyways, we put her on. And by the she was on for maybe 4 or 5 months. She built quite a following. And this was the thing. She had wanted to go on a cruise forever. That was her dream come true, to go on a little cruise. I'm not a fan. I'd never been myself, but I knew I didn't really care about doing that. But Abby did. So she has her little hat business. And I had her make enough money with hats. And the cruise was like $500 total. And I said, show me how much money you have. And I would give her money for like things, you know, little chores and whatnot. So I made her physically give me the money and we put it on TikTok. We said, you have earned enough money. We are going on a cruise. We booked the cruise. Cousin Mary came with us and she was elated with glee. She felt so amazed that she did this. So we told the fans, we're going to be posting about this cruise. And we've been working up to this sort of victory for a long time. The night
right.
before the cruise, TikTok shut down her account. They banned her.
What?
Why? Because apparently in one of Abby, everybody knows Abby likes to drink a sip of Chardonnay. That's Abby's thing. She loves holding a wine glass and feeling professional and all that. So someone we believe reported her for underage drinking. And first of all, she's 22 at the time we shot that, or 23 maybe. But she was definitely old enough, and they didn't even say, send us her ID or anything. They just shut the page down. So I took over. We were so freaked out, and I didn't want to do TikTok, and I don't necessarily like that, this engagement, you know, of having to defend your thoughts or your story or your life. And, my very first video is, I'm so sorry, everybody, they shut down Abby's page, and I'm going to be showing you the cruise from this account.
Right.
So anyways, 2 weeks later, Abby's account came back. And then I said, Abby's account's back. Go follow her for fun stuff in the world. I'll stick around and be boring and talk about interventions. And that's how I started. So it was never about, I feel like I'm supposed to be, you know, telling this correct story. It's a, it's an accumulation of experiences for all of us. And I've learned a lot by the people that have been mean. I want to also say there's been so much love.
Oh,
it makes me cry. I'll get a random message from somebody in somewhere, and I'm literally, they don't know that. So anyone that's sending me a message, I'll be like crying. But I've also engaged with several, like I said, lovely and kind level one, low support needs adults. And we are going to meet. We are going to talk. We are going to share their story from their perspective on my channel to help understand. And, what I love about that is that that person, even though they disagree with me or they don't understand my story, they want to come together. They want to be understood. And that's where we start with collaboration. So even though they'll say, I hate it when you said this, this, and this, I go, okay, tell me why. We low support needs need help. Just because we're low support needs doesn't mean we're not deficit. And I said, okay. Right. What supports do you need as an adult that was late stage diagnosed? What would be incorporated into your life? And you know how many people said, I don't really know. One person said OT. And I said, OT for me is sensory regulation through like movement, vestibular input, proprioceptive input, swings, slides, and gross motor and fine motor. We had a lot of gross motor, fine motor problems, but we had a lot of just figuring out how to use your body in space. And then what? But that person will say, well, I need OT because I need to help. I need help with grocery shopping and I forget to eat. And I'd say, that sounds like life skills to me. That sounds like life skills support, like a program for day-to-day functioning and the big old whiteboard and the to-do list, something that's a concrete structure for that person to put their life into. So they have organizational management.
Yes.
Which is not
that's true.
I mean, there's a component of that, but
guess
who's big on the whiteboards? The ABA people. I mean, that's how I used ABA principles for Ben, Abby's brother. And he always thanks me, goes, thank God you got that whiteboard for me. Thank God you got the stars at the end of the whiteboard when I was in sixth grade. Thank God you made my teacher sign off on my homework because I wasn't listening. And he's ADHD. And he does
not just ask.
But he has a channel on TikTok, and as Abby's brother, it's Ben Romeo One. And he's starting to share about his experience. And, you know, people saying, if you have ADHD, then you are deficit, you are disabled. People were yelling at him. And he said, I don't see myself as that. I know I need to do this, 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 and this. I need to go to the gym. I need to have a whiteboard. I don't see myself as that. He's a little fidgety. But I love his attitude because I didn't want either of my kids to feel down about it or I'm disabled. I mean, if you want to consider yourself disabled, if that helps you have a happy life, go for it. But I feel like we want to do the opposite, like with your daughter. Okay, you've got some issues, but here's what you can do. And if you want to go, your goal is to sing a song on stage in front of a group of people, great. You got anxiety, you've got this, we're going to create support to get you to that goal.
Right.
Don't say you can't do it because you've got this, this, and that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I'm thinking with the ADHD, a lot of times I notice that there are comorbidities with autism. So you have autism and anxiety, or anxiety is just part, but you have autism and ADHD. My daughter talks a lot about the odd ADHD on TikTok, not odd like ODD, but odd. maybe it's ADHD on autism. And she's like, oh my God, I relate to all those people. I have all the same things. And that to me isn't, again, that's not OT. That is what you're talking about. It's like having skills that are going to help you.
But isn't
it? They do have adults with ADHD and they do forget to eat and they don't take their medication or they can't seem to get on a schedule. And you have to say, listen, you need structure.
Right.
It's a different thing.
You see that even in the person that needs help, many of them can't actually define what that help is because it's a state of being. And is that state of being deficit? Is it wrong? Is it, you know, and this is an example I gave to a young man who's really cool. He's definitely came in swinging onto my channel, but he DM'd me. And I responded. I said, tell me your story. I want to know it. And let me tell you why I said that. Because everybody's in their own story. And it's really hard to be in someone else's story. And what I'm saying is if we don't start in the vast landscape of autism, breaking it down, we can't help you. Because what a low support needs person is not what Abby needs. Okay, there's people that mask, right?
Yes.
A lot of support needs people will say, we autistics mask. We mask. It is what we have to do to survive. And that is true for that person that is speaking. But you can't say all autistic people mask. Abby's clinical diagnostic person who is a friend of ours who now only diagnoses people came over for dinner the other night. She was also Abby's aide before this person got their PhD, and she worked with Abby for at least 6 years. And I turned to her and I said, does Abby mask? And that person laughed and said, Abby has not masked one day in her life.
Yep.
And I loved hearing it from her because Abby doesn't have the capacity to mask.
Exactly.
Abby doesn't have the ability to look at specific nuances of social interaction and suss out how to pretend to behave at a party. Abby will be jumping around at that party if she's there right in front of everyone saying, can we go home now? I don't like it here. That's why Abby's so entertaining because there's no filter. And I honor that and I respect that. And I look at my hair falling in my face and I respect that. And I think it's fine. And we don't force Abby to do anything that she doesn't want. We do try to teach patience and maybe, you know, you know what I mean? But anyways, so that's part of the story of that. But yet, I even said, if we even broke down the population that masks with the population that doesn't mask, we don't do that. We don't even talk about that. There's a really popular book that I have not read called Unmasking Autism. And people just say autism. People don't go around saying autism level one. They say autism spectrum. So the general public will look at this person's story and say, oh, that's what autism is. Then they meet Abby, who's speaking in memories, and they think she's rude. They don't understand that Abby.
That's,
I'm going to just say this one. I'm just going to say this one a lot. So Abby has had a weight problem for several years. And she learned to lose, it's hard to connect with that for a person at Abby's level. But she learned to do it mathematically through counting calories. That's because her doctor came to us and said, she has to drop 20, please, before it gets out of control. I said, me too. So let me join the party because I need to do that too. And so the idea of being what Abby says fat is her story of herself. She doesn't like the feeling. She watches a lot of TV. She's a visual person and wants to wear this sort of gown dress or something. And I'll say, that's not really appropriate. And then she gets mad at her body type, but she'll say, I don't like fat. And I don't like, and then she'll say, I don't like fat people. And she says that because she's projecting herself on the visual of fat. So it comes out that way.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You say that once, girl, and you're canceled. And people don't understand that she's not talking about you. She's not talking about fat people. She's talking about herself. She's talking about her struggle. People don't understand that. So that's where we're at. We're like way, way back over here trying to explain when she speaks in categories and memories. And it's so self-reflective. But if you just make that statement, what are people going to think? Like Abby will say, she's got this auditory thing. And she forgets to say, I don't like the octave of a baby's cry. That she doesn't say. What she thinks of is the memory of having experienced a baby crying. And she'll say, I don't like babies.
Yeah.
Now, if you say, I don't like babies, that's not cool. That's like an odd thing to say. But what she's saying is, and I say, no, that's not true, Abby. I'm always prompting her. So when I prompt her, which is another area of my channel where the low support needs people say, you infantilize her. Why do you talk to her like that? And we're talking about independence.
Yes.
And I talk to Abby in a slightly accommodated way. Because one of the things that's new in this whole world of autism is the Gestalt Learning Processor. I don't know if you've heard that.
Term. No, tell us about that.
Basically, and I'm not a speech person, so I'm speaking totally as a learner of this. And it's pretty new to me. It was never mentioned to me until I got on TikTok. So Abby's 25. So I'm 24 years into it. I've never heard this term. Learned it last year. It's people that learn language in chunks, not individual words. Think about if you're learning to speak Spanish. This is my analogy. And someone comes in and says, yo estudio la lengua de español para 7 años. Right? You hear this. And I used to speak Spanish really well, and then I lost it all. But when I was
speaking. Yeah, me too. I love
now,
Spanish.
When I speak to people, I'll say, can you say it slower? And if they say, yo estudio la lengua de español para 7 años, I can now hear the individual words.
Right.
And we speak so rapid fire, and we're, you know, there's just like a million words coming out. They hear in chunks, not individual words. And I do believe Abby has something to do with that in her learning. She also has, and I think this is part of Gestalt, I could be wrong, that you start to use words for it from, you learn a feeling of like, I'm scared based on an experience you had in your childhood. And Abby very much does this, which is there were these, this after school program called the Clubhouse that she went to when she was 5. And it was traumatizing to her because a lot of the kids had severe behavior problems. She wasn't able to tell me. She didn't have the language. So I didn't know. The lady that ran the program says, oh, she's doing great. It's fabulous.
Hi.
But I started picking up on some anxiety. I heard there was an incident and they had to tell me that this one kid hit a teacher and someone spit. It was that kind of environment. So I pulled her out.
Right.
And Abby now refers to fear as that's the clubhouse instead of saying I'm afraid. So that is part of what I think is Gestalt. And the last thing we're working on with Abby is conversations and trying to get her to jump in conversations. I said Q&As are very hard. And I'm starting to see that when people are she can't follow along because she's not hearing the individual words. So I've started a new technique that I have completely made up that has absolutely no scientific evidence or proof, which is we have people come over for dinner and we talk like this when we are having a conversation about dogs. I like big dogs. Mary, what kind of dogs do you like? And I am almost talking like a robot to see if it helps with her coming into the conversation. So I'm just doing it because.
And it's helping so far?
Well, I asked her, I said, does this help you? And she said, yes. Because now she's able to respond to me. And I thought, this is, if we can train the ear by giving her a step that does not exist right now, maybe that can help train the ear. It's like learning Spanish.
Right?
It's like once
you get the,
but it's an auditory input slight difference or malfunction. And if I can do something to help her get that, I'm going to do it. So,
well, that's incredible. Now, Christine, if you were in charge of the DS, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just saying those are some of the things I try to do to help her, which no, I'm not a doctor. No, my credentials are 22 plus years in therapy rooms, hearing lectures from some of the top people. Soma and Raj are two of my favorite peoples that highly, you know, do you know who Soma is?
No.
So Soma is an Indian woman who taught her nonverbal son to use, pecs and pointer before assistive technology even existed. And this kid who is not, I mean, he is so odd. He does a lot of vestibular input when he rocks, you know, or receptive, whatever. But he has a keyboard and he'll do this, and he's doing one letter at a time. He's written a book of poetry about what it feels like to be in his brain. And he'll say, it said, "The sound of the water drop. Someone left the faucet on. Each drop like a loud boom into my ears, taking all my focus and attention. So I hear nothing but the boom, boom, boom." And he's describing for him a faucet that has repetitive drops going down. So I've always been fascinated with kids that have that kind of intelligence. And then others who are non-speaking adults who graduate cum laude from their high school class and give a kick-ass, you know, graduation speech. And then, you know, everyone's so different. So one of my concerns about the DSM-5, I think that's what you were going to bring up, right?
I was going to ask if you could lay it out the way you want to with autism, it would be genius.
There's two ideas.
So helpful.
There's two ideas I have. And my evidence is my haters. If I didn't have haters, I wouldn't be saying this. My evidence is the haters. I got beaten and bullied and badgered because I did a talk about how ABA helped Abby. Okay. You're abusing her, da, 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 da. So right there, there's a problem. Here is a therapy that was done in my home and in the school setting, right there in front of people. But ABA may not be right for a lot of people. Why? Yeah. Because you're already in the world. You're already talking and communicating, and you don't need any of that intervention. What you need is adaptive life skills, sensory integration support, and anxiety management. Yes, but we don't look at it that way because we can't treat people because we don't have delineated names for the manifestation of this neurological difference. Okay.
Right.
And it used to be in the olden days prior, you know, circa 2013, we had pervasive developmental disorder or PDD. We had autism spectrum, and then we had Asperger's. I don't care about the name of Asperger. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people that fell under that. So let's just call it autism high intelligence. I'm just going to call it autism high intelligence.
I want to go to PDD-NOS for a minute because Lila got that when she was like three. And I thought the way they explained it was she has some of the traits of autism, but not enough to get a diagnosis. Is that correct? Or
that's kind of
don't mind explaining.
She's learning differently. That's what they literally said to me when Abby got her diagnosis at 2.5. I was begging them not to give her the autism diagnosis because I saw so much light in her. Abby had memorized the book of shapes. She was engaged with me. In fact, I didn't have an isolated kid with me. When she needed me, she was like on me, and I couldn't put her in a separate room. She'd scream hysterically if she wasn't.
Yeah, Lila always wanted
was
to be
clingy,
on me too.
And I was like, this is not what I signed up for. I'm a real independent lady. I had to lay down with Abby for 2 years for her to fall asleep. Every night I have to go in the room, lay on the bed next to her, wait for her to fall asleep, and then do it like a combat roll out of the bed onto the floor so I wouldn't wake her up so that she could function. So I had that.
Yes.
And she couldn't do speech therapy unless I was in the speech room and she was sitting on my lap. I couldn't leave her in the speech room with a bucket of toys and be right in the next room. She would just scream hysterically. And she says to me now as an adult, she said, "I couldn't focus without you." That's how she describes it. But a lot of anxiety, fear of the world. And if you think about it, one of the most unsung topics in this is sensory integration dysfunction, because I feel the human brain, this is just my opinion, is morphing and changing. And we have a way more sensory thing. Is it the hormones and the antibiotics and the foods we're eating? I don't know.
Right.
Is it the synthetic chemicals in clothing we're wearing that we're breathing in? I don't know. But something's happening. We definitely have more stuff going on. But I think sensory integration dysfunction is crucial to understanding autism, because sensory integration dysfunction is not recognized on its own. It is a known thing within autism. And you could be sort of told you have sensory issues, but they're going to put you on autism if you want to do anything about it. And yes. I think sensory integration dysfunction should be, because I feel a lot of, this is an opinion on what I've read and who I've spoke to, that okay. the low support needs community has a massive sensory problem, which is causing anxiety, which is causing depression, which is causing all these yeah. things, which is causing oh, yes. shitty lives and angry people.
Yes.
And we're not giving them any tools in school nope. to deal with it. So if it was my way, and I think that the PDD diagnosis was important because it's suggesting you're not obviously deficit. You're subtly different. You have differences. Again, I'm honoring. So what if yes. your brain works differently? So what if you process information differently? Doesn't mean you don't need support, because you do.
Right.
They're obviously completely different. You wouldn't be screaming at me because ABA. Do you know how many people at level two or even threes, but more level twos that I know, would not be speaking if they didn't have ABA? David's mother yeah. told me that. David would not be speaking if he didn't have ABA. That's what brought him in, what we call brought them into the world.
Yes.
So the low support needs is already in the world.
Exactly.
They're two different
exactly.
things. They're calling it the same. Nobody goes around saying, I'm autism level one. Oh, hi, I'm autism level two. And by the way, yeah, even that true. Is so vague. Here's my analogy. In mental illness, okay. in that arena, we have a diagnosis for everything based on a number of symptoms and behaviors, traits, whatever you want to call it. We don't say mental illness spectrum. We don't say, no. I got mental illness one. What do you got? Mental illness two. And that's why people, like, there's a guy named Daniel McHale, I believe his name is. He does a brilliant channel on being schizophrenic. I've learned so much from him. And he's so open. Here's my symptoms. Yeah. Here's what happens. I have delusions. I see this. I take my meds. And it's been really wonderful to learn about that world. But it's so specific and targeted. You don't see a bipolar right. person coming on Daniel's channel yelling at him for how he lives his life and what he does and what his interventions were and what meds he takes. Because bipolar is a whole different thing. It's over here.
Yes. That's a brilliant analogy.
We're not afraid to have traits. How vague would it be if you got diagnosed mm-hmm. mental illness? You're a parent. You got a kid. Oh, your kid's mental illness. I'd say mental illness too. And then you as the parent have to go figure out how to treat that. You have to go up. Yeah. And everyone has their own opinion of what that would look like.
Yes.
Everyone has their own opinion thinking, well, I would do this and I would do that. And that was one of the hardest parts of Abby's diagnosis. It was uncharted boat in the middle of the ocean and me trying to figure out where to go. And now I get it. Now I'm looking at it, which is why I'm saying, wait, we have to stop. We have to call things something. And the level one low support need is so angry. They do not want it to be called something special or different. They just want to be called autism. It's a spectrum for a reason. And I'm like, yeah, it's a failing spectrum because we're not energized enough to break it down based on one's needs and support.
Exactly.
I'm trying to create more support for the level one. I keep saying, I read Donna Williams' book and I cried through the whole thing. Her life is such an important story about understanding, I think, low support needs. People who are having a hard life, and general public could be kinder, could be more helpful, could be more patient if they understood that population's what their profile was. I just had a young man over for dinner, and he works at our local grocery store, and he was actually a helper in one of Abby's programs. And we got talking, and I didn't know if he was on the spectrum or not, but he was working in the bakery, didn't have an aide or a helper. So I've gotten to be friendly with this guy. And we had a really great conversation about the things we were talking about earlier, which is like your daughter. And he said, I said, are you on the spectrum? And he said, I don't think so. And I said, oh, he goes, well, I have a job. I'm very social. I love people. It's been, my parents sort of thought I was. I had special classes when I was in special ed. Most of my schooling, I had special classes, but I don't see myself as on the spectrum. He's like, I don't know. And I thought, well, you go to any diagnostic person, they'll just give you the diagnosis.
Right.
But he doesn't think he is. But he needs support and has needed support. And we were talking about what that is. And the number one thing that this guy needs is, I said, what if we called you neurodivergent? And that was an official term, because now that's just an adjective. That's part of autism. Like saying happy. It's not really recognized in anything. And I thought, what if all the PDD types who were on the cusp were identified as officially neurodivergent, which is under the umbrella of autism spectrum. But now yes. You're going on saying I'm neurodivergent, which we all know is part of autism. But it gives you the respect and honor of what you can do with these supports underneath it. And I said to him, I said, Ben, what do the supports look like for you? And I just threw this out there because this is what I imagine it to be. What if we had in the HR of the company that you worked for in this grocery chain, your neurodivergent colleague may need the following accommodations. 1, sensitivity to light and sound. 2, needs additional breaks. 3, may need reminders to finish a task. 4, and I just listed what I think based on my
experience. That's great.
And he said, that would be amazing. Because right now when poor Bren needs to take a break and start to pace, remember I talked about movement?
Yeah.
His boss calls him lazy and unfocused. Because why? Because his boss doesn't know he's neurodivergent because that's not a term that's official yet. But if he goes around saying he's autistic, that's a whole other, like there's liability. You know, it may stop him from using some of his gifts because he's a great guy with an amazing sense of people. And he's so kind and sweet. So he has problems related to task accomplishment.
Right.
And I said, what if we did that? And he said, that would be amazing. So do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%.
And it's not meant to take away from anyone. It's meant to target specific supports based on a need of a population that has not yet been identified because it's OT1, 2, and 3, and no one goes around saying that. It's either low support needs or high support needs. That's like saying in mental illness, I'm low support needs, I'm high support needs. Don't know what I have, but I feel uncomfortable in my body.
Yes.
Do you see the difference?
Yes. So I'm
trying to embrace this with people, and I believe the DSM-5 needs to look at autism now that we understand the low support needs population exists.
Yes.
Because I don't think that we really targeted that, and people went around in painful situations, having difficult lives, not being able to motor plan, you know, simple things in life that you take for granted, they needed extra support they didn't get.
Oh, yeah.
I have a friend and she is not diagnosed. We talked about it once. She never makes eye contact. She said to me, they tried to tell me I was autistic when I was a kid. Great job, all that stuff. The main thing is a little bit different in conversation. Sometimes offends people, but it's not a big deal. We just think she's opinionated and that's fine because so am I. But recently, interesting, she had to move. Okay. And she had to move like from one state to another state. And I said, I can help with that. And I jumped in kind of like a week before the move was going to happen to say what's going on. And I watched what was happening with the sequencing of organizing a move. Like you had a car that you had to return to the lease dealer. You had a doctor's appointment. You're moving out of state. You had to get out of an apartment. And everything of those tasks was jumbled into a huge mess. I had more anxiety trying to help this person than I could stand. My skin was crawling with just trying to help this person when I saw how discombobulated and how stressful and how hard it was for her to try to organize those steps.
Right.
She needed help with that. And it was totally the way, and I thought, how hard has life been for this person trying to navigate those things when that part of your brain isn't sequencing in a way that makes it easy?
There's a lot of people.
That's what I mean about understanding that sort of situation and stuff. And so DSM-5, if I had my way, I would have, under autism level 1, low support needs, there would be 3 types of people. Autism sensory 1, autism auditory 1, autism, sensory, just broken down. And then we might even say autism low support needs sensory. So it's sensory based. And we know that's the trigger for help. Or the Asperger population. I always say this, okay, great, get rid of the name. No problem. That guy, Hans Asperger's not a cool dude. Great. He's axed. Now what do we call it?
Right.
We don't just call
it. Is that why they got rid of it?
Yes, because Hans Asperger's was affiliated with the Nazi party and supposedly he did bad things and tested on Asperger population and whatever else. But basically, Asperger's is a German name and he was a Nazi. So that, okay.
They should have just called it something else because that was really helpful to that population.
Scientists and half of Silicon Valley and downgrade them to this sort of autism.
So,
deficit population.
Nope. Yes.
Call it something else. Abby would cry. At Abby's autism school, there were four programs. At the autism school, there was the vocational program. There was the gen ed where the Asperger's kids went. The Asperger's kids went to the general ed class. Then they had a behavior program. And then they had the non-speaking or the nonverbal program. So right there, there's four sets of how to educate. We don't even do that at the DSM. We got low support needs, high support needs, 1, 2, 3. Call it a day. I'm going to sleep. And I'm like, guys,
that's crazy.
Now that we have more awareness, we've got to stay with the times. So here's why. Now I'm seeing misinformation on TikTok, which reaches billions of people.
Yes, there's so much.
If your sweater's itchy and you don't like the tags in your shirt, you could be autistic. If you don't know when someone's flirting with you, you might be autistic. If you are uncomfortable with loud noises, you might be autistic.
Raise a finger. If you're, my daughter shows me that, I'm like, honey, please stop listening to those people.
Some people, those are manifestations, but now the general public is looking at their own preferences.
Yes.
And saying, oh, I might be on the spectrum because we're looking for it. And my thing is, you have to question and ask, then you're probably not on the spectrum. But you do have sensory preferences.
Yes.
And my thing is, and I know this is just my thing, I can't stand when I'm in a loud restaurant that echoes. And I've got to sit at a table and talk to you. All that clinking and clanking in that echoey space makes me uncomfortable and very anxious.
Right.
Yeah, very, very anxious. So I am, I'm aware of that for myself. That doesn't mean I'm autistic or on the spectrum. And by the way, a lot of people try to tell me I'm on the spectrum because it runs in families. That's another myth. Yes, of course it's genetic. We get that. That doesn't mean every single person is. And I'm saying, even if you are, I'm a mother, I have two kids, I have a great job and I'm autistic and da, da, da. See that general term? No one goes around saying I'm mentally ill. They might say I'm bipolar or I have OCD. But they don't go around saying they're mentally ill and everyone's the same.
Yeah.
Because the manifestation is so different. And I'm looking at it to honor those that can with support and give help to those that can't so they get up too. Deficits are obvious. I'm not saying that if you are low support needs, you don't have deficits. I'm saying the manifestation of autism is internalized and not obvious. That's why you fell through the cracks.
Yes, that's true. You know, my mother had, I would call it severe sensory processing issues. She couldn't stand smells. It was always too hot or too cold. She couldn't drive on the highway because everything was too fast whooshing by. She got nervous and anxious when the drapes would move. And I thought, that's what? And everyone's like, why is your mom so weird? Why did we have to drive so far and go all these different ways around? And what is going on with her? She would lay in her bed in the dark for hours. She got really depressed. Nobody validated that there was something going on with her. And she tried to explain that everything, it was terrible. And she had chronic pain. And then she died in her 50s of ovarian cancer, never getting validated. So the reason that when Lila was little and I saw her, she would hear things no one else heard. Again, she'd cry with the wind on her face. If we took her to the grocery store, she'd be up all night crying. She took every little thing in that she saw. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's my mother. And I was like, I've done this already, but I was at Whole Foods and Lila was two and there was a magazine that said, does your kid have sensory processing issues? And I read it and I was like, oh my God, got her to an OT. She got diagnosed with sensory processing disorder, which doesn't even exist in the DSM, like you're saying, which is ridiculous. And she did the OT for that. It wasn't about autism and it did help, right? She did that for like 4 years.
I think we are all very sensory oriented as being a human being. But in autism, it stops you from speaking. It stops you from getting input and language. I think sensory processing is huge and it's not given its due. And in terms of the diagnostic terminology, if I were to have a say, they should have neurodivergent as a understood and acknowledged medical condition with supports that go with.
Right.
And employers need to know and the general public needs to know so that I know my colleague is neurodivergent. Oh, I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to yell. I understand if Joe needs to go take a break, that's part of his thing and that's fine. And there's no judgment and there's no calling someone lazy. That person has to do that. So, you know, Abby's is way more impacts her life to the point of she can't function, but Joe can function. He just needs a 5 minute walkie break. That's it. So neurodivergent. I'd say my number one thing is that the neurodivergent term be used in a real way with respect and supports that go under it. Boom, that's yes. one. Then we would have autism sensory disorder. Autism sensory disorder. Someone, who, and then within that, we'd have a high functioning, a low support need and a high support need within the sensory, because we'd see people, and then we'd have autism communication disorder. So right now, the biggest manifestation of Abby is communication. Mm-hmm. Kind of crazy for someone who's an influencer. That's, you know, on the show. But when yeah. I tell you that there's certain people that think in memories, that think in patterns, that think in experiences, that have the Gestalt language, perhaps, they can't fully express. And you've got this highly verbal person screaming at people like Abby who can't scream back. And you go, well, that's, come on, that's just a waste of your energy. And now I'm playing defense on a type of autism that you know nothing about. There is right. zero crossover between. And it's not that person's fault. And it's not my fault. It's the fault of the DSM, because we're not talking about what it is. Abby is communication yes. deficit. You are not under yep. the umbrella of autism. And then we'd have, I just keep saying autism high intelligence. That may not be appropriate, because not all people in that profile are of high intelligence. Some mm-hmm. are. So maybe we have something that just calls, autism, high processing.
Oh, that's good. Means, yeah.
You know, which means that they have this ability, and we understand that in that population. So if I'm an employer and this guy comes in and he's autism high processing, or I have high processing syndrome, that means I'm a genius and I can think you out of the gate right now.
Right.
Because on the down low, I work at a cancer foundation, and I have met with and spoken to many Asperger scientists. And
I bet.
Right. And I've listened to them speak, and they don't like social interaction. They love mm-hmm. knowledge. It was explained to me by a person with Asperger's that it's okay to not like social interaction. And yeah. I go, what a different way of looking at it. There is nothing wrong with you. You love learning. You love your special interest. Why yeah. can't we honor that and jump into it? I had the pleasure of sitting with a 17-year-old man at a barbecue once who was Asperger's. His thing was astronomy. Now, I knew he was Asperger's. His mother did not know me or anything about me. And this was many years ago. Sat at a barbecue, and this kid went off on astronomy. And I am taking it in. He was nonstop facts and figures. He was not taking in my reaction. He, you know, that I thought yeah. about getting a beer at one point, but he was so fascinating. And the mother came over and she says, Joey, give the woman a break now. She needs to. And I said, no, please. This is so cool. I said, I get it. I just said to her, I get it. So then the mother yeah. knew that I knew that he had Asperger's, whatever you right. called it. You called it mm-hmm. then.
Yes.
And I loved it. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could understand the genius behind that mind and let them do their thing and not expect some conversational right. chat. I didn't exactly. care if he didn't ask me one question, because I could understand what was going on because of my past. Wouldn't it be cool if the general public knew that? Some people don't yes. like or enjoy. In fact, social interaction is painful. Yeah. But you know what? The acquisition of knowledge based on their special interest is like an encyclopedia. Then there would be less yeah. bullying. There'd be less judgment. There'd be less, yep. we're doing it right, you're doing it wrong. There'd be more of a community of understanding that some yep. brains work different. And in fact, your brain is better than mine, because I'm not a scientist and I don't work in Silicon Valley. So that's what I'm trying to get this yeah. across. And that's why I'm imploring the DSM. At this point, we got to change. Having one spectrum, And identifying and seeking and micromanaging every neurotypical person's sensory needs is going to cause us all to be on the spectrum at some point.
Yes.
And that's why young kids or post 18 or kids struggling with anxiety are saying, I might be autistic. And I understand why they're saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's even a video of kids mocking being autistic, like it's like a cool, vibey thing. I've seen a lot of like funny Gen Z people with like holding a stuffed animal saying, yeah, I'm on the spectrum. And one girl goes, yeah, it's so cool to be on the spectrum now. Who knew? Guess I'm on the spectrum too.
Oh my God. Laughing. Right.
And they're laughing because there's nothing else to call it. And it is turned into this kind of vague landscape. So if we said those kind of more concrete phrases and had the sort of things underneath it, it's at least a starting point so that right. we stop fighting, we stop the hatred, we honor low support needs with the supports they don't even yeah. maybe know what they need, because right. it's not defined yet. And then we don't fight and scream at people that need an ABA form of therapy to help them talk. ABA is not right for everybody. It's right from my experience, it's right for one part of the population. And those are the ones that are sort of isolative in sort of a walking around talking to yourself, not in the world yet.
Yes.
You know, and you see, you observe, you watch how it's implemented to make sure it's done. But that's what I'm talking about. And I'm hoping that the fighting stops. I'm hoping that
people come
together and stop saying, you know, there's a lot of low support needs that just hate all parents. They just hate them. And they say mean, nasty things. And you autism parents. And so if you describe a sadness about watching your child isolate and be alone, they come at you and saying, that's because you're ableist. You're autistic. You want your kid, your kid that's not speaking can blink twice. And that is communicating because you're expecting them. Why can't they be who they are? And it's like, I'm sorry. Navigating the good times and the bad times, watching them suffer. Some of my saddest moments was watching Abby in the realization that her brain wouldn't do what she was telling it to do. And watching that pain was so painful. And I get to say that was painful because that's what it was. That's what I mean.
Yeah. All
it's almost like there's a population of people that are just so angry that they're attacking people. And I know everyone gets it on TikTok. And it's such a sad state that people do that. But I want to say this. If you live in a perpetual state of anger and rage, you will get anger and rage back.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I lived with disappointment, sadness of my life, you know, when I was divorced and I was having to work this minimum wage job and had to reinvent my life. I lived angry for several years. And I woke up one day and I said, well, I have two choices. I can have a crappy, angry life going forward with these circumstances, or I can accept what is and go from there. And that is what I chose. I said, I'm going to accept what is. So I started laughing at the fact. I couldn't believe I was emptying the trash at an ad agency, wheeling out a big bin of yellow page books where you used to look up phone numbers and wheeling it up and throwing it in. I started laughing like, this is a funny goof. Who knew that with all my abilities, I wound up here? And I started laughing at Abby's isms and things. I started saying this was, and I was trying to date at the time, and I wouldn't tell men I had an autistic daughter. I kind of kept it private because I felt like it was private. But then I just said, yeah, I got a kid on the spectrum. I got a kid that's da 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 da. And I just started accepting and celebrating what was. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm this old and I'm single. That was not in the plan, folks. Okay. And then I accepted that, and everything got better. And then I started traveling and doing fun things and owning my life and planning my life and helping Abby and being more relaxed. So everybody needs to remember we're living in a world where negativity is promoted.
Oh, yes.
And we need to fight through that darkness to go to the light.
And so right.
In our field, in this world, that has to happen too. We all have to come together and you know, understand that no one that's being affected by this is really at fault, but the language is so vague, it's a clue it's not working. So let's get it together and come up with terminology so we can create supports for the people that need it.
Christine, you are so right. I would love to, we've talked about this, I'd love to do a regular segment. I think you're amazing. I think you have so much to offer, and I just want to send you all the hearts and all the love because I think you're such an incredible mom, and I just think what you're saying is so important. Is there anything you wanted to add today? And again, my door is always open here at Health Power. I'd love to have you back.
I mean, I think that's it. I'm all about, I am, you know, there's more, way more love than hate. I am honored and humbled that anyone cares about what I've done over the years. And I look back and I'd say, teachers would say to me, you know, you should go to Sacramento and advocate for educational change in autism. And I say, let me just win the lottery first. And then I can go to Sacramento. Because at the end of the day, you know, I really do feel like the education system is flawed. Not everyone.
Definitely.
I really learned from Love on the Spectrum. Watching Abby, the biggest takeaway from that was that one day is watching Abby have to sit in that chair and try to answer questions and not do it. And when she came out of that room and the next day she was on fire with light and language and was fabulous, I thought if every kid who has got an alternative way of learning that is forced to sit in a chair and have to get that pencil and how torturous it must feel for them, including low support needs that aren't diagnosed, And that's where the education system should be looking at things differently. It is their job to create intelligent, functioning adults. They will say it's about accessing curriculum and education. And if it doesn't affect accessing the curriculum, then we're not doing it. And that needs to change. Because the curriculum then should be life skills. The curriculum should then be managing the world. You know, like there's other things that we can be teaching starting at a young age. Social skills, managing conversations, being friends. That should be in the curriculum then. Because that's how we're functioning happy adults.
Yeah, you're so right. Well, Christine, how do we find you? Because people should definitely follow and be nice, because I'll come after you if you're not. I'll be your bodyguard.
I cried. I got over it and got back on the horse. We shut everything down about a year ago because I was like, I'm not doing this. There's no point. People are so nasty. It's disgusting. And it's like TikTok's a sewer. And then, but there was so much love. I just said, you know, I'm going to focus on the love, got back on the horse. So I am Abby's Mom 16 on TikTok. And I'm Christine Abby's Mom on Instagram. Okay. And I'm Abby's Mom on YouTube, which is doing very well, which is exciting. Good. We're doing a lot of long form content. We're trying to do like longer conversations, uncensored. I don't do a ton of editing, don't have the time. Just so people can see sort of a real slice of life, Abby in real moments. I don't really even edit Abby that much. I try to make it be real moments. So there's that. And the last thing I'm going to say is please be aware of fake accounts in both Abby's name and my name. There's somebody that has an Abby fans page on TikTok that has created a store. It's her picture, her content, and they're doing lives trying to sell stuff. That is not us. We don't sell anything. So that is not us. Please look for Abby's verified. And mine also has a lot of fakes. It's not as bad as hers, but look for the accounts that have more followers.
Okay. Absolutely.
Sort of check.
Okay. Well, Christine, I mean, I know you're busy, but we could do so much stuff. And I just think you're incredible. Everybody keep coming back. Follow Christine. Let me show you my dogs real quick. Oh my goodness. So there's Benji and there's Blue.
What a beauty.
There's my Blue. Yeah, he's gorgeous.
You have to ask, American Pitbull Terrier?
Yes.
Clementine is around 40% American Pitbull Terrier.
I could tell. And I said that when we were watching. I always get really excited when I see any kind of pit mix or pit because they're just the best. Yes. Just the best.
She also has Basset Hound.
Oh, wow.
That's why she has the long ears.
Well, this has been so much fun. I could talk dogs forever. Everybody keep coming back 5 days a week. The reason I'm moving around here is because I'm petting my Bloop. Anyway, thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And we would appreciate it if you could please rate and review and leave a comment, because the more you engage with our podcast, the more you will find it and help other people find it wherever they listen to their podcast. So be sure to follow us. I'm at Andrea Donsky and at Naturally Savvy. And Lisa?
At Lisa Davis MPH.
Thank you so much. And please share this episode, because the more you share shows you care. We'll see you next time.